Blog Talk Radio.
I have Bible study, a time to study, ask questions, and fellowship around the Word of God with Apostle Kyron and Pastor Kimberly Buford of New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia, with Breaking Chains and Young Adult Talk. Join us live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at 858-357-9137.
Praise the Lord and Happy New Year to everyone out there. This is Pastor Kimberly Buford, and Apostle will be joining us in just a few minutes, and we welcome you to Breaking Chains with New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia. This is our Tuesday night Bible study, and we are a church in Stafford that is all about breaking chains, destroying yokes, about seeing God's people moving forward in this new year. Amen. We're excited about where God is taking us and where God is going to take you. Amen. Before we get started, we want to go ahead and go to the throne. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you. We thank you for another day, another year, another opportunity to just bless you, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you called us to be in this place at this time to just share your word, Lord God. We count it a privilege and an honor. We thank you that you have chosen us to do this work, Lord God. We don't take it lightly. We don't sit back and just feel like we deserve this, Lord God. We know we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the words that you have put in our mouths to go forth and share with your people, Lord God. We give you every bit of the glory, honor, and praise. It's not about us, Lord God, but it is totally and completely all about you. Lord God, we repent right now of every sin, attitude, shortcoming, failing, anything in us that's not like you. Cleanse us, God. Wash us. Renew a right spirit in us. Lord God, make us clean vessels before your face to be used, Lord God, as you see fit. Father God, allow that every word that's spoken on this air tonight, that's spoken through this broadcast, will go around the world, Lord God, that chains will be broken, yokes will be destroyed, and that your word will continue to go forth and permeate and change lives, Lord God. We give you authority. Lord God, we give you all opportunity. Lord God, it's all about you. Do what you need to do, God. And we are just happy to be a part of it. We bless you, honor you, and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I want my destiny. This year, I'm walking into it. Amen. Amen. I want my destiny.
Yeah. Go get ready. Come on. Go get your shoes. Come on. Go put your vest on. Come on. As a matter of fact, go get all your stuff.
Come on!
That's right.
What you saying? Just saying what? You better go get your hat and come on!
You better. And here's the reason. He saw me up there all alone. So for my sin he did atone. He purchased me, I'm not my own. I wanna please him. So now I serve him, who brought me and is able to keep me. I'm together in the presence of his glory. I found for my life his good and perfect purpose was designed to bring me to the place where he had made me. So I wanna my destiny, yeah.
Can't settle for.
Can't settle for.
I'm not the
soul. Nothing sure what you want me to be or want me to be. Cause I want it all.
As I look around, on the shelf. He did not die just for his health. With the time we have, let's waste not all on selfish reasons. But we must seek to please him first. Find his will upon the earth. And they look back from death to birth. They'll say they've seen him. So we must serve him who brought us and saved us. To bring us to the place where he needs us to be. Do you want your destiny? Come on. Come on, come on.
Where God wants me to be, when he wants me to be there to do what he's called me to do. Amen. Amen. We need to be ready, willing, and able to step out of the box and do the things that need to be done. It's all about God. It's not about us. And we have to just continue to step out and do what we've been called to do. Amen. Amen. And sometimes that stepping out means stepping outside of your comfort zone. All the time, as a matter of fact, it means stepping outside of our comfort zone. And one of those things we're going to be talking about tonight, as a matter of fact. This year's topic for Bible study is going to be prayer. Prayer is going to be our topic all year long. And there are when I talk about stepping outside of your comfort zone, some people are like, well, you know, how is praying stepping outside of your comfort zone? Well, for some people, praying is stepping outside of their comfort zone. For some people, 5 minutes before they go to sleep, that's it. Some people don't do that. You know, we might get a now I lay me down to sleep out of them, amen? But in this season that God is calling us to, in this season that we're being called to, we have to be a people of prayer. One of the things that I repeatedly say at church is, yes, preaching is awesome. Preaching is great. Worship is full and awesome and grand. However, what Jesus said was, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's what Jesus said. So, again, all those other things are great, grand, wonderful, and good. But Jesus said, my house should be called the house of prayer. So that is the foundation of anything we do in ministry, everything we do in ministry, anything you do in your life, anything we do with anything, it needs to be bathed in prayer. So this year, part of our focus for this year is learning how to pray. Just learning how to pray.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Because that was my inner thought. I'm just leaving Bible study with two children, and I was just thinking that would definitely be the thing to do this.
Hello? Hello? Is there anybody on the line?
Hey.
Hey, okay.
She must have blinked out. Okay, my bad. I was making sure it wasn't me. Okay. Well, praise God. I'm glad this is the answer to prayer. Can y'all hear me fine?
I can hear you.
Okay, great. Well, this year, first thing I want to do, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is where we're going to start. Again, this year, this is going to be the theme of Bible study, teaching how to pray. And, you know, I don't know about you all, but when I was younger, I grew up Catholic. And so we had, we used to have all of those books of prayers that you just recite. You know, we learned all of these different things. And then when I got saved and ended up in a Protestant church, I was led to believe that all that stuff you're praying is wrong. You know, when I was growing up, I used to pray the rosary and the Hail Mary and the Our Father and the Glory Be and, you know, all of that stuff. I would pray, you know, I knew all of those things. And then when I got saved, it was like, no, those are repetitious prayers and you don't pray those. Well, let's break all of this stuff down and see what God says about all of this. You know, I'm not saying any of this is good, bad, right, or wrong. I'm just saying let's break it down. Okay. Excuse me, what is that? Hold on a second, please. What is that? Hello? Okay. All right. So let's break it down. We're going to start at chapter 6 of Matthew. And it's, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. All right. Now, he's talking about alms there. I'm going to jump down a little bit. Let's jump down to verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Amen. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, it's not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I just thought I'd throw that little part in there for free, because a lot of people miss that. Okay? So let's just start right there before we go any further. We're talking about prayer and fasting. Now, somebody just kind of say, what did you get out of that, just reading that right there? Because we're going to break it down in a minute, but just an overview of what we got out of that.
Actually, it's the model for prayer.
It is. It certainly is. Jesus told us how to pray.
That's exactly right.
And I don't think he meant for us to repeat it verbatim, the intent. But you know what? If you don't know what else to say, it's better to say that than say nothing at all. It's better to say something than nothing at all. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It helps you out, because when I first started myself, if I may say so, just to say, to enter into his throne room, Abba Father, who art in heaven, It lets you know who you're talking to. It lets you know who you're talking to. It lets you know to give him glory, honor, and praise. If we follow that model, we have prayed the way that Jesus would have wanted us to pray. And we need not to say, help me to pray, show me how to pray. Just pray. You talk
just
to him.
Pray.
Because all of these things are already covered under the model prayer. So what we have to do is to take time to pray. Oftentimes we want to hoop and we want to holler, and then we would say, didn't they pray, you know, a nice prayer? But we have to get away from those type of sayings, and that's meant no harm to anyone that might have done that. As we
yes.
grow, God is expecting more of us. So my prayer
Amen.
Life is very serious to me, and I'm teaching my child, he's 17, to still talk to God in the name of Jesus. God is
That's
your
right.
heavenly Father, just like you go to your daddy. And when you go to your daddy,
That's
you
right.
say, Pops, give me a dub.
Thank you.
And we didn't know
Thank
what a dub
you.
Was.
Thank
you.
You
know, so he tells us, too, that even within our prayer, when we ask, we need to be concerned about the kingdom in our prayer more so than right here in earth, because he's already told you that he's going to give you, provide you with those things that you need here in the earth, okay? So
right.
you don't need Cadillacs and cars and more books and more icons and more of whatever that is, you know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah.
in heaven. Okay, we don't know what it's going to be like in heaven, but we know that when we be there, we're going to be just like him. We know that much. And so if we
Amen.
Don't need these tangible things in heaven, it's the intangible that we need. So what we need to do in our prayer is to incorporate those intangibles. Lord, teach me how to love. Teach me, Lord God, how to catch on fire and allow the Holy Ghost to use me right here in the earth so that the kingdom can come right here. So when Jesus comes,
Amen.
I will have nothing to worry about in terms
Amen.
Of did I pray? And if I pray and pray right, how do I know I'm praying right? When I have touched bases with everything that's mentioned in that model prayer.
Amen. And sister, you know what? I wanna break each piece down. I wanna break
yes.
each piece of this down. Now the first thing is when we start at verse 5, and by the way, anybody jump in anytime you want to, okay? And when we start at verse 5, Jesus made a point of saying, don't pray like the hypocrites you see. And, you know, I'm not saying that people that, because we all have to, we all should learn to pray in public. But we should be sincere when we pray in public. We should have a heart of sincerity.
Yes.
I want to say this. A lot of the time when people ask you to pray in public, they have a quote-unquote unwritten prerequisite. A lot
yes.
of the time, especially if you're at your job or something like that, the unwritten prerequisite is, now don't say in Jesus' name. My thing is this. If you ask me to pray, I'm going to pray. Now, if you don't want me to pray, don't ask me to pray. But if I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray. Now, what you want? So we can't compromise, I guess is the word I was getting ready to say. We can't compromise on whether we're going to say Jesus or not. We can't compromise on how we're going to do this thing. Again, he said, don't pray in the just to be seen. There needs to be some power in your prayer. There needs to be something really behind your prayer. There needs to be a reason why you're praying. Amen? The
Amen.
Whole reason to pray, sister, just like you just said, how do I know if my prayer is effective? If I touch base on the things I need to touch base on, I need to know how to touch heaven.
Yeah.
I don't want my prayers going up, hitting the ceiling, and bouncing back down and hitting me in the head. That kind of prayerless. And I'm sure God doesn't have time to waste any more than I do.
Clouds so, without water.
I'm sorry?
Clouds without water.
Clouds without water. Hello, a tinkling stumble, a sounding brass. That's what Jesus told us not to be.
That's right.
That's what
Amen.
He told us not to be. You know, don't, you know what? just put it down where the rubber meets the road and the cow meets the cabbage. Don't be fake. I'm sorry, I got real country on y'all, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't listen to too much Jay Bird and McGee. put the cookies on the bottom shelf where the children can reach them.
Yes.
We just need to not be fake.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just not be fake. You know, be who God called us to be. And just be real. You know,
keep it simple.
If I got up somewhere, keep it simple. Oh, magnificent and omnipresent Jehovah that dwelleth above the... I ain't got no business sounding like that's not me. When I start sounding like that, we know I'm fake. I know I'm fake. Now, I'm not saying that somebody don't pray like that, cause, and that might be how they do. But
that's not
me. Amen? I'm talking about just be ourselves. God created one of each one of us. If you try to act like somebody else, one of y'all is unnecessary. So it's best just to be who God created us to be. Amen?
Amen.
So don't be fake. And he said, and verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So when we get up there and pontificate, as my husband likes to say every now and then, and we get up there and pontificate and be puffed up and trying to, you know, I've heard people say, I don't want to pray in public because I don't know what to say. Say what God put on your heart. Say what he put in your mouth. That's what he said. Well, don't worry about what to say when you get in a place where you have to say it. When that time comes, I'm going to give you what to say. Just because if you get up there and you start saying stuff that's not you, you got your reward. Ooh, didn't they pray? Didn't he just finish saying that? Ooh, didn't they pray? Well, I mean, what does that mean? Was it anointing in it? Was the anointing in it? Did you feel the power of God? Or was it just, I went somewhere once, have mercy, Lord. I went somewhere once, and it was time for, I guess, the deacons to pray. And the folks got up there and started praying, and the musician was playing, the deacons was praying, the musician was playing, folks was moaning louder than the other man was praying. I couldn't hear nothing that was being said. I can't
amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I can't amen that. I don't know what you're saying. You might be saying some stuff I don't need to amen. Anybody else feel me?
Listen, I don't even know. And I'm going to say, listen, I'm jumping in because I'm jumping in right now because I may not be able to jump in anymore. I don't know how I got on this conversation. And what I mean by that is I don't know how this call came through to my phone. I was talking to another sister in Christ, and all of a sudden, I began to hear the countdown that we're going into Bible study, and that the apostle will be here. And I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I was coming from Wilson, North Carolina, coming to Pine Tops, and I am now sitting in my front yard, and I'm sitting out here in the car. I don't want to move the phone because I don't even know how to contact you all. I don't know how I'm on this line. The person I was talking to is no longer here. How did I get in touch? But I'm thankful to God tonight. This just proved.
Oh, my God. Now, that's all I'm going right now. What's your name?
I told the Lord
this morning.
Bear with me, public. I told the Lord this morning. I know that it's my voice. I said, Father, you know, I do want to be on radio, but in your season, I've been asked once before, but God, in your season, do I want to do it? And my God, this is supernatural.
Amen. Listen, sister, before we go any further, make sure you take down the website of the church, and all our information is on the website. This is Apostle Buford. Our church is New Antioch Christian Fellowship of Stafford, Virginia. If you go to the website, www.nacfofstafford.org, you'll find all of our smiling faces, our ministry team, and sermons that we've preached, and the church service times and all the information about the ministry is on our website.
And this is our Tuesday night Bible study. This is our Tuesday night Bible study.
I just left Antioch Outreach Church Ministries in Wilson Bible study.
Wow.
Now, you know, that was all. This is all God.
This is supernatural.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So let me
give you the telephone number so that if you get disconnected, you can call back in.
Sure.
The call-in number is
858-357. Hold on one second. I'm not trusting myself to remember that, so let me get my pen in the dark here. Hold on one second.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, this is God. This is awesome.
Okay. Let me just get some light here. Are you there?
We're still here.
Okay, wait a minute. Ready.
Amen.
858.
Uh-huh.
357.
357.
91.
91.
37.
37.
And we're here every Tuesday night at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Yes, ma'am.
Make sure she writes down the website address also.
Okay, give me that website address again. www.nacf.
NACF as in Evelyn.
Yeah, of Stafford.
NACF.
Of Stafford. OSSTAFFORD.
Yes, ma'am.
.org.
.org.
Yes, ma'am.
I got it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we're gonna jump back down here into chapter 6 of Matthew. Into here. Okay, again, he was talking about they have their reward when they get fake and like, as my husband likes to say, pontificate. But thou, when you pray, go. Jesus said, go in your closet, go wherever your prayer closet is, shut the door, and pray to your daddy in secret. Because he is our father. He is our daddy. Pray to daddy in secret. And he's going to see in secret, and he's going to reward you openly. See, the things that the world tells us we need to do, that's exactly what God tells us not to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very thing that God tells us not to do. God says, you ain't got to go out there and run out there and be all big and puffed up and use all the $10 words you can find. That ain't necessary. But other folks, when you do that, ooh, getting they pray. And like I was just talking about, you know, the folks up there praying and the other ones humming and the musician playing and can't nobody hear nothing and they're, amen, what's your amen? And you can't have nothing saying. You know, it's just, that's religion.
Let me interject something also, Pastor Kim. I remember when I was a bishop at the leadership conference last year, and before we came out, we were back in Bishop's office, and we prayed before we came out into the service. And he had Pastor Mark Foley, the former president of University of Mobile, get us in prayer. And what I think the Lord wants us to do is make it personable and make it simple, because we place so much emphasis on the emotionalism of prayer.
Yes.
And we have these hard, and Father God, we declare in the name of Jesus, and we call down your healing power right now in the name of Jesus. And we, you know, we go on and on and on. And his prayer was so easy. Lord, bless us tonight in this service. And let your will be done, Father. Shine your grace upon us. You know, some very simple, very unassuming, peaceful. And I'm thinking, wow, we have missed the mark all these years, praying so hard and straining to pray. And the Bible says God is at the heart and not the outward appearance. So God knows what's in our heart. And we have to choke and strain to get God's attention.
Yep. Amen.
The prayer was so simple and so easy, I was almost embarrassed for me. I'm thinking, why all these years we've been screaming and demanding and declaring and interjecting and calling down thunder to pray and get God's attention, when his prayer was so sweet. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy.
Yes, it's easy.
And my burden is light.
Amen.
It's a sweet, easy prayer. Just a prayer like a pillow or a feather. The prayer was so easy, but yet it was so profound.
Yes.
God, we just thank you tonight for being in your presence. Lord, bless us tonight. Let your glory shine, Father. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name. I mean, something very simple like that. And it was so, you know what? Sometimes less is so much more.
More.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's jump to verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you even ask.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Again, I'm going back to when I was Catholic, when I was in the Catholic Church, and I ain't knocking Catholic folks, because I know saved Catholic people, believe it or not. I know some Catholic people who love the Lord. But God told us, don't be repetitious. You ain't got to do all of that. But that was how I learned to pray. I had to, for me at the time, I didn't know any better. And a lot of the time we do things out of ignorance. It
That's
doesn't mean you're evil. It just means you don't know any better.
That's right.
I didn't know any better. When I first got saved, I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what else to do. So I still said my Our Father. But, you know, God began to reveal to me, because, again, He's our Father. He wants us to go in our closet and just talk to Him, just like you were saying a few minutes ago. Talk to Him just like He's your daddy, because He is your daddy.
Yeah.
You know, He's your daddy. So just like when I go to my daddy, when I go to my earthly father, and I go to him and I talk to my daddy, I sit in my daddy's lap. I'm 50 years old and I still sit in my daddy's lap. I sure do. I ain't going to even lie and say I don't. I'm almost 50 and I still get in bed with my mama. I ain't going to even lie and say I don't. But that's because I'm close to my parents. I have a close relationship with my parents.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what God wants from us. That's what He needs from us. He wants us to just like we have the relationship with our earthly parents. Now, the disconnect comes in all of these, and see, that's why, see, this can go in so many different directions. That's one of the reasons why what they're trying to do with marriage is so evil. Because children need to know a mother and a father in order to be able to relate to our Heavenly Father. We must be able to understand, and our parents are the first God we know.
Mm.
Now, y'all might not agree, you might not understand what I'm saying, but our earthly father is the first daddy we know. That's why when you have a single parent home, and I used to be one, when you have a single parent home, your child has to have a pattern, somebody to pattern themselves after.
Yes.
When Apostle and I got married, my son was three when we got married. And I used to tell God, I thank you that you have allowed me to be the mom that I need to be for this little boy. But I understand that I'm, as a woman, I can't teach no boy how to be a man. He needs a man to teach him how to do that. Yes, Lord, you gave me grace, and I thank you for grace. I thank you for the grace that you put on me to handle what I needed to handle because I was in a situation. However, his best is for us to have a mom and a dad. And I thank God that he gave that to us. That's how we know how to respond to a father. A young
That's right.
man needs a dad to show him how to be a man. A young woman needs a man to show her what kind of man she needs to marry or what kind of man she needs to see in her life. That's what daddies do. So when we don't have that pattern, when we look to our Heavenly Father, sometimes we don't know how to act because we didn't have the pattern. Am I making sense? Does anybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes. The pattern.
Okay. It's the pattern. God does everything in patterns. If you look through the Old Testament is full of patterns.
Yes.
The Old Testament is full of patterns. just like he gave us, just like right here, he gave us a pattern of how to pray. He gives us patterns. Everything's a pattern. That's what the first family, father, mother, children, family, pattern. It's a pattern. And it was a pattern to show us how to get back to our Heavenly Father, this kind of relationship we should have to him. Just like I can go and I can just sit in my daddy's lap right now. But when I go and pray, I need to be sitting in my daddy's lap.
Yes. The pattern of love.
That's a pattern of love.
Love. God has shown us through his, may I? God has shown
go ahead,
us
go ahead,
through his love. And it's something that was simple, even though I understand the deep thing that God was saying. But when I look at Adam and Eve, okay, and the love that Adam showed Eve, though Adam already knew what God had said, that you can partake of the trees, of the fruit rather, but not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, but here comes the enemy and tells Eve, he did not tell Adam, he told Eve, have God said, if, okay, and he went on. You'll find it in chapter 3. I'm shortening it up some. But what I'm saying about this love is a pattern. The fact that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So did Adam. Adam gave everlasting life, the life of living, the choice of living forever versus living for a little while. He gave that up because of the love that he had for Eve. I'm not saying that Adam was right for taking of the
fruit.
Okay?
You're right.
But I'm talking about a pattern of love.
He made a choice.
Yes.
He made a choice.
Was, yes. He had the choice. God didn't give it to Eve by herself. He gave it to Adam. But they both partook. But what I'm saying is Adam loved Eve so much.
She was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh.
Yes.
She was that strength that was comparable to him.
Yes. And look what happened. Because of his love, did he not give his life as we do not know life? He gave life. He gave his life. He gave up. He was going to live
forever.
He
gave up his life. He gave up.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
He gave
he
up
did
his
that.
Life.
He
yeah,
gave
he
up.
Did
yeah.
That for the love. And the reason I said that is because oftentimes when God brings something to us, and you know, you keep it closed in because you just know that nobody else is going to even think that, you know, this is from God. But we're talking about a pattern. Everything is written for a reason. There's a purpose. And when I see that pattern that Adam did like his Heavenly Father, God so loved the world. Well, you and I both know that God is pure and holy, and he cannot sin. He cannot disobey, okay? But with Adam, Adam was even made in the likeness of God.
Image and likeness of the Father.
Image and likeness of God with dominion.
Yes, in the likeness of God. So therefore, he knew what it was to love, though all of this is not written, but
right.
Oh, my God. Can we just think on the pattern of love? What
it
God
was pattern
did.
Of love.
And then,
yeah, because you know what? In spite of all this, like you say, God... even though he was deceived, Adam was there, and Adam made a decision.
Yes.
He made a decision to disobey God.
Yes.
And stuck by Eve's side. So I understand the analogy. For God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. And this example of love, Adam so loved Eve, he made a decision to disobey his father, to stick by his wife's side, even knowing the consequences that they would be cast from the garden, that they would. You know, allow death to come into the world. For the Bible says that by one man, sin came into the world and death by sin. But here's another example of love. God still loved them so much in spite of their sin, in spite of their rebellion, he taught them how to reconcile themselves back to him with the sacrifice.
Yep.
Amen. He taught them how to sacrifice. He taught them about the blood atonement. He told them that for the price of sin, something has to die.
Something bad
Amen.
To die.
Listen, just like when he said, listen, the day you eat this, if you touch this fruit, if you eat this fruit from this tree, you shall surely die.
Die.
And because they disobeyed, the disobedience, disobedience was sin. Uh-huh. And because uh-huh. of that sin, it brought death.
Yes.
And to
uh-huh.
atone for sin, something else had to die.
That's
to cover
right.
that sin. So he taught them about the sacrifice, how
sacrifice.
He would take a sheep or a goat or a lamb or a bull and make a sin atonement. That's why when Cain and Abel were told to bring their sacrifices, Abel, he brought the greater sacrifice. He
yes,
brought the
right.
greater offering.
He brought the blood.
And Cain was disobedient.
Yes.
And God accepted Abel's but rejected Cain's because they were taught by their parents. They were taught, listen, in order to cover and atone for that sin, you got to show some blood. Something has to die. It's got to cover by blood.
Now, Pastor, can I jump in real quick, Pastor, and throw this in there?
Yes.
Now, when it came time to do the Passover, years later, when it came time to do the Passover, that in Jewish culture, they had to take that lamb without blemish. And that lamb had to live in the house with them for 7 days. That lamb
right.
had to live with them for 7 days. They had to feed it.
Yes.
It became like part of the family. It became
yes.
something that was dear to them. It wasn't just like we go to the store and pick up a chicken. It wasn't like that. They ended up having a relationship with that lamb.
Yes.
And then they had to kill it.
Kill it.
They
Take
had to
life.
Spill its blood. That lamb
yes.
that had been there with them, that was like a pet, they had to slaughter it and shed its
mm-hmm.
blood for themselves.
Yes.
So they ended up feeling the pain of loss, that pain of loss for that particular animal that was sacrificed. That's deep. That whole situation is just deep. It's not like us now. Sometimes when it comes to sacrifice, we give up stuff that really don't mean much to us.
How about that?
We give up stuff that ain't really that important to us. But
yes.
in at that season, you had to take something that meant something to you. That animal was like your pet, and you had to sacrifice it.
That, you know what? And that's why, was it the prophet, was it Nathan or Samuel that gave David the parable about the rich man who took his neighbor's lamb
Nathan.
To feed?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Nathan? Took his neighbor's Nathan. Lamb to feed his guests? And they got so mad. He said, you know,
mm-hmm.
this man had a little ewe lamb. The ewe lamb was like a part of his family. The
yep.
ewe lamb would lay on his breast, eat at his table. It was like a part of his family, the ewe lamb.
Mm-hmm.
And his
mm-hmm.
neighbor, his wealthy neighbor came by and wanted to feed his guests, so he took his ewe lamb and slaughtered his ewe lamb to feed his guests. And David got wrong. He was so upset. That man, he should be put to death. Who's the man? And they just said, thou art the man.
That's
thou
you.
Amen.
So
Amen.
You took Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. You are the man. But, yeah, so in other words, you know, when it comes to that lamb being a part of the family, and
yes.
you have to love it and
yes.
feed it with care. And comfort,
yes.
and then you got to slaughter it.
Yes. Shed its blood. That's right.
Yes.
Amen. Wow. This thing has got deep already. All right. So now we at verse 9, where Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our
mm-hmm.
Father, which art in heaven. Just stop right there.
Yes. Yes.
Our Father. Okay. Now, there is an assumption there. There's an assumption that you're part of the family. there's a great assumption at that point. You're part of the family.
You're not
you
just
know,
a creation.
You're not just a creation.
Uh-uh.
Yes.
You're talking about family member.
This is a family
creation.
Member.
But if you're calling upon him, you're calling upon him as your father. But if you have not accepted him through Christ Jesus, is he your
that
father?
Is.
I believe you're a bastard.
Come on now. That's like somebody off the street just coming up here and coming in my house and calling my husband daddy. I would be looking
yes.
kind of sideways at that one. Like,
You better know. I'm sorry. him? How you going to call him father? Nuh-uh.
How you going to call him father? You ain't got no relationship. You ain't a member of the family.
You can't do
you
it.
Got,
and listen,
you
listen.
You can't do it.
And that goes, goes back to our topic about prayer when Jesus said, man ought to always pray and not faint. The more you pray, the more you know the Father, right?
Yes.
The more you pray, the more you spend intimate time with the Father, right?
Yes.
We're talking about relationships now. We're talking about knowing the Father intimately, relationship-wise,
intimate.
Right? And he said,
yes.
Man ought to always, not just pray every now and then, and not just pray when it's convenient, but he said, man ought to always pray. Always,
yes.
And always. You
yes.
know, and always is an adverb indicating to what extent. It means what it's always. Man ought to always pray.
Yes.
And
amen.
Don't get tired of doing it. And the more you pray, the more you talk. How does someone get in love? How do you fall in love with your wife or your husband? You spend time with them. You talk to them all the time. Talk to her all the time. And the more you talk to them, the more you know about it. And
yes.
the more you know
Thank
about
you.
It, the more you like them. The more you love them. Amen. You spend the time.
I
spend
love
time
that
with
analogy.
Them.
I love that analogy because that's
yes.
exactly what the relationship with God is like. That's why he gave us marriage, because marriage is the
yes.
perfect picture of relationship with him. There is an intimacy there. There is an
yes.
intimacy that God, that he not only wants from us, there's an intimacy that he needs from us and that we need from him. That's why, you again, going back to why marriage is the way that it is, because God designed
uh-huh.
it to be a reference point.
Uh-huh.
He designed it to be a reference point of his relationship with his creation.
Yes.
He wants that intimacy, that intimate relationship with us. And that's what that's what prayer does. That's what prayer is supposed to do. Go ahead.
That's right. Amen. I'd like
right.
to say something, too. You know, you can't have a relationship if you're not communicating.
Amen.
Okay, so communication brings forth a relationship. That's a part of relating to one another. And so when we pray, that's our way of communicating with God as well. You know?
Amen.
And so if we're not in prayer, then we're really not communicating with God.
Amen.
See? Amen.
And definitely not in fellowship, then.
Let me throw this
I'm
out
sorry,
there. You said something. You said communication. Communication is not a monologue.
No. It's a dialogue.
Communication
That's
is a
right.
dialogue. It's a two-way
That's
street.
Right.
So that means not only am I talking to him, but I got to shut up sometimes and let him talk to me.
Yes.
Amen. That's right. And even it goes even back to his word. If we're not
uh-huh.
in the word, we're still not communicating like we should.
Amen.
You know, that's right. So, you know, all that falls in line with communicating and having a relationship is being in his word. We have to abide in him and he in us.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I like this. Our Father. Yeah, we talking about daddy. We talking about relationship. We talking about communication. We're on the first two words of the prayer. We ain't even got into it yet. We just on the first two words. Our Father. Our Father. Talking about daddy. Talking about relationship. Talking about communication. Talking about I got to listen. Yeah, I got all of this stuff I want to say to daddy, but sometimes when we pray, sometimes we just got to sit there and shut up and just let God talk to us. Let him download some stuff. Amen.
Oh,
we have to.
Amen.
Go ahead, sister. Go ahead, sister.
That's right.
For the download.
Yes.
That's why listening is a great part of it.
We have to receive instructions. Yes. Receive instructions. Just as
Amen.
We have to wait patiently on the answer. And the word says to wait patiently on him. Wait patiently for him. And we know when we talk about wait, the first revelation I received was about a waitress and a waiter. When we're talking about waiting on God. We don't just sit still like a lump on a log. We're doing that which he's already called you to do, But the thing of it is, weight is not as we see weight in the natural. When we wait patiently for him, we just go on and do what he's called you to do. And as he calls you, he's going to give you more. He's going to give
you
the answer that you've been looking for if you're waiting patiently on him. And that brings us to, if we keep our mind stayed on him, he will keep you in perfect peace. So therefore, you won't be distracted.
Amen.
You're going to hear what he has for you to hear. For him who is to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And if we don't hear what God is saying to us in prayer, how can we add daily to the church?
Exactly. Amen. And you know what? The word came to me from the scripture is that we are to acknowledge him in all our ways, and he shall direct our path.
Hello.
You know, we fall short of acknowledging God in all our ways.
Yes,
because we first think about what we want to do and when we want to do it and how we want to do it, because we think we're big enough, we're grown enough to do it, but yet we don't acknowledge God. The only time we acknowledge him when we want him to clean it up for us.
Come on now, well, we want him to come in and fix it.
Yes.
That's right.
We
didn't come
in and fix all that.
And I'm pointing my finger at myself on this.
We all do.
Yes,
you know
Lord.
What?
I'm pointing my finger at myself.
I got to
say, Lord, how did I get myself into this?
Daddy cares about the little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy cares about the little stuff. I got a story I tell when we built our last house. I wanted some wallpaper in my kitchen. And one of my friends and I went to this wallpaper outlet, and they had all of these, they had some of the open rolls, and I found the exact thing I wanted. It was just too cute. But we didn't know how much was on the roll because the roll was already open. So we both said, you know what, we're just going to believe God. We're going to have enough. So we get home, and she's helping me wallpaper. She's helping me, and we're looking at it, and it wasn't a large area that needed to be covered, but we wasn't sure if we had enough. And we prayed over that wallpaper the whole way, and I know this sounds silly to some people, but God cared about my wallpaper. When I tell you the wallpaper got right to the edge, got right, we were like, are we going to have enough? We got literally, it stopped exactly where it needed to stop. When I tell you, we shouted about wallpaper that day.
Amen.
God cares about my wallpaper. God cares about it. It doesn't have to just be the big stuff. God cares about the little stuff, too.
And that's how he gets our attention. He gets our attention and allow us to know that he heard you. As 1 John, I believe it's 1 John 5. And when he lets us know that if he hears us, then we know that he's going to give us the petitions that we desire of him. Simple as your wallpaper was, there's something was so simple when my relationship with God was being formed in the beginning that he told me one night to get up and make some candy, some peanut candy. And I did not know how to make peanut candy. But I got up at 12 o'clock midnight, and God, through his Holy Ghost, showed me how to make that candy. And I want you to know when I finished it, Planters Peanut Bar didn't have nothing on me because it came out being just like a Planters Peanut Bar, and I took it to work and gave it to some of the co-workers, and they wanted me to make them some of this candy. Well, actually, what they said, first of all, let me get the story right so it won't be a lie. They asked me, would I pick them up some of that candy when I go back to the store? And I told them I can't do that. They asked me why. I said, because I didn't buy it. I made it. The Lord told me to make this candy. I have never made any like that since. Pattern, okay? That night, I made that candy. But that was letting me know that I heard the voice of God. He said that in our communicating, we have to listen, don't we?
Hey, we got to listen.
That's
right. Amen.
So it's
Amen.
Not a, it is a dialogue.
It's not about us.
He heard
Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about 5 minutes until the end of this time. Does anybody have any last comments before Apostle closes it out? Amen. I have enjoyed this lesson tonight, and we haven't even scratched the surface. But I have just enjoyed this lesson tonight and just this time that we have spent sharing and blessing God and just being encouraged. Amen. Just being encouraged
Amen.
About how to pray and what we need to do, how we need to do it. Amen. Anybody else got anything
Amen.
They want to say before I turn it over to Pastor?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, we really enjoyed it, you know, the Bible teaching on tonight. And then my wife, of course, was pondering, saying, "Who is this wise woman on the conference call?" We was trying to say, "Is it Landon?" And trying to figure out what person it was from the church. And she came on and told us who she was.
Who? Who is this? The sister in North Carolina. I want to know who you are. What's your name?
Well, my name is Carolyn. Morris.
Well, we praise God for you, Sister Evelyn, because you have
Amen.
Just been a firecracker tonight. We have just enjoyed you.
And let me say my name, Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sister Carolyn.
Carolyn Morrissey. Yes.
Well,
Sister
yes,
Carolyn.
Yes.
We thank God for you, and we invite you to come back and join us on the line, amen? And if you're ever in the area, come and join us for worship.
Lord willing, I will do that.
Amen, amen.
All right.
Would anybody right. else have a comment before Pastor closes it out?
I'd just like to say that I have just been sitting and listening, and I truly, truly, truly have been blessed. And as far as Sister Carolyn is concerned, perhaps she would be interested in joining us tomorrow night, Wednesday, on Proverbs 31 Woman.
Amen. Amen.
And
we have our women's ministry on Wednesday night.
Okay.
And it's at 7 o'clock as well.
Okay, then. And what I'll do is I will call, and then I'll know exactly where I am on my phone. And I'm on my phone. Of course, you know that. But my nephew gave me this phone, and I haven't even adjusted to it. Don't know how, again, as I said, but hopefully and prayerfully, God is going to lead me this way again. But I look forward to that, okay? So you all would be in much prayer that I would try to remember. And I know that I have a mind after Christ. So therefore,
Amen.
I know I can remember how to get back to this place. So I
Amen.
Will say, yeah, but Lord's willing, I do look forward to trying to get here with you all.
Amen.
My husband is not even in the, I'm out here in the car by myself, and I'm sitting in front of the house, and I can't wait to get inside to tell him what happened. So,
praise God.
That's the answer for us. And his name is Tex Morrissey, Elder Tex Morrissey. Keep us in your
Amen.
Prayers.
Okay.
And our son,
yes.
Zacharias Morrissey.
Amen. Amen. Praise God
be with you.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Praise God for
Amen.
You. Apostle, we got
close
you.
It out.
A second. Yes, sir.
Amen. Father Amen. God, thank you tonight for the miracle of radio. We thank you for this time of
yes,
fellowship, Father, with your words. Thank you, God, for all of your people who plugged in tonight, God, and for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, God, that guides us, that leads us, that delivers us, Father. Now, God, we just plead the blood of Jesus over our lives right now. Forgive us for our sins, Father, as we leave this place, but never your presence. God, let this word be applied to our lives.
Yes.
Let it have an impact. Let us change the world, Father, with your word.
God,
yes, we
Lord.
Thank you. We bless you. We
yes,
honor
Lord.
You, Father. In the
yes.
name of Jesus, we pray.
Thank you,
Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. All right. God,
God
bless you
bless
and keep
you.
We love
God
you.
Bless. God bless
you.
God bless
you. Next Tuesday night.
Amen.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
God
Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains is a show that will break generational curses that are holding our youth and families in bondage. It's freedom time.
Freedom time.